Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Greetings, everybody. Hope your head's not too thick and your mouth too like the Russian armies march through it.
Even though
that didn't make sense grammatically. Hope you recovered from your fabulous Super Bowl parties, even though I've always said that if you're going to make a national holiday, you should certainly make it the day after the Super Bowl. But no such luck for those of us that have to get in there and slay the dragon and toil and do that. And, I always thought whether you have a dog in the fight or not, probably about the fourth quarter as the two-minute warning is winding down the game, the national consciousness turns into this giant depression, and we realize, well, we've been duped once again.
We're a bunch of
We are. We'll talk a lot about it. I've got lot of opinions. My most unusual Super Bowl ever. I would say it was the best, but it really wasn't. But it was different. We'll talk all about that.
Was it unusual because of your outfit? Did you dress up?
Oh, did you wear a jersey?
No.
You didn't get a jersey, did you?
I'm just making stuff up now.
I was like, did he wear a jersey? Were you a Carolina fan?
I thought maybe you were a Broncos fan. A gown.
Stop. We'll get to the Super Bowl, okay? Just stop. Okay. Just stop this terrible string of robberies. Anyway. So I'm going to subject myself to ridicule now.
No,
let me tell you why. Because I am going to complain about the weather.
Oh.
And I know that you guys with your 30-inch snowfall and your cold gray temperatures that you're enduring in the D.C. area.
It's going to snow tonight.
It is going to snow tonight.
Well, you know why it's going to snow tonight?
Why is that?
Because it's February and you live in a cold weather climate. It's not unusual. Mm. You get snow.
All right, Tom Jones.
It's not unusual. You get snow in the north. What you don't get is 10 times the amount of rain that you're supposed to get. And temperatures that, really, to be honest with you, I moved down here. I have finally crossed the threshold. I have crossed the threshold. You two know me very well, and you will know what this threshold is. This is the threshold that we crossed over the weekend. And that threshold, these words came out of my mouth. I said, well, the O'Maras moved to Florida, and that's why we will never have another f***ing warm day as long as I live down here.
Wow,
it will never exist.
It must be nice to be so important, Mike, that your location actually changes weather systems.
Yes. Changes weather, but not positive. Not like Ditka can change the weather with his mood. This changed. Do you remember when I had a snowblower for 14 years?
Yes.
And we never got more than a dusting?
You gave it away.
Would you like to know what the average temperature is supposed to be here? It's supposed to be in the mid to upper 70s.
Sure.
Every single day. There's a reason why I look out the window and there are palm trees there, okay? There are palm trees there because my ass isn't supposed to freeze when I take the little dogs out there to the front yard to have their morning dump, and Frankie looks at me like, what's going on? I said, I don't know, Frankie. I'm not our Lord Jesus. I do not know what's going on, so I don't understand what's going on. So I realized that I would subject myself to ridicule because where you are, you're going to get snow. But the fact is, where you are, it's not an aberration to get snow.
True. Well,
down here,
36 inches of snow is an aberration, and that's like four inches of rain.
Snow.
So when you complain about water, we got the same drainage issues up here. We got four inches of rain in 2 days.
Is your basement wet?
No, but it's very excited. So it's
God.
All right.
Gross.
He's his father's son.
Jesus
he's his father's son. That's
Christ.
His way.
That's
his way of getting his jollies. That's
Look,
what he's doing.
Let
he
me
wouldn't
say
make
this.
A joke like
hey.
That. If there if you
Today's
know what
not
if,
the day.
If, If Tab Patterson was in studio and Tony Perkins was in studio, he would make a joke like that. But because the lady interns are in there, he makes his dirty sex joke. It has everything to do with it.
No,
I know you better
than
you know yourself.
It's the worst.
It's not, Jerry Lewis wouldn't do a joke.
Oh my God! Somebody at school referenced Jerry Lewis. Somebody referenced Jerry Lewis.
What did he say? Do you guys know if he was alive?
No. Somebody said, "Hey, ladies," and then. And then from the back of the – and we weren't in classes during a break. And then someone did a Jerry Lewis, "Hey, ladies." And I said, no.
Hey, lady.
It's a nice thing in making the jokes.
Hey, lady. You got your metrics? Your metrics, yes.
Are they kicking your teeth in? Did you have to write a paper? Are you going to graduate in July?
Oscar, I have a homework. I know you got a lot of homework. I have a homework assignment for you.
Please.
And this can be completed at your leisure.
You can
deliver this whenever. But what I would love from you.
Yes.
And I will use this in my own private life as well as on the show. But primarily this is for the show. Could you, if possible, as time, do it by remembering and do it by as you go forward. Could you jot down MBA speak?
Oh, yeah.
I would love to know. I probably could get that from the internet. You know what? I don't, you know what?
We were we were going through this iteration.
That's one.
At
the end of the day, we're going through this iteration.
No. We were actually trying to figure out if you could answer a question in class with a bunch of buzzwords. Yes.
I'm going to have to circle back to you.
No, I used that before.
But that's an MBAism.
At 30,000 feet, 30,000 foot level would be an MBA if you're looking at something from a high level.
Oh, that's a new one. Yeah.
So if you, it's like, let's look at this from the 30,000 foot level. I was like, why would we go that high?
I think the best.
And then arbitrage.
So what is arbitrage?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Does it have to do with ratings?
No. Not arbitrage. And then if you've got a delta, the difference between.
Okay.
Everybody uses that.
That's a great thing, right? Yeah.
Everybody uses that.
I truly love the internet.
You really found everything?
I don't like continue to cite. That's not helpful. Don't do that for me. I don't like that.
You know what's new on when you click through on a Huffington Post article?
Yes.
Now it fades.
Oh,
have you seen
I
that?
Have them.
Oh, yeah, you
I have them. I
you
have
got
them.
Them.
I have them.
Bring them up.
89 of the biggest cliches that will help you get promoted to middle management because they'll make you sound like you know a lot about how organizations operate.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I love
Oscar, do you think this is a bit of a paradigm shift?
Yes, I've heard that. If I had a ding, I'd ding.
Let me ask that. Okay, so that counts. I'll do it. Thank you. Oscar, do you think we're data-driven on the Mike O'Mara show?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. All right. Need to wrap our heads around this. I've said that before, NBA
sure.
speak. A win-win said that one, too.
Win-win is big time, though. People use that all the time.
It's a sales thing.
ROI.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
ROI. A ding.
ROI. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Let me continue. This is exciting. This is not what I wanted to talk about. Beach talk about the weather. Let's blue sky this.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Blue sky or blue ocean.
Let's shoot around a bunch of ideas that we have no clue what to do. Let's blue sky this.
That's really blue ocean would be the word that there's. Or blue sky would be if you're thinking big, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But blue ocean would allow you to say that you've got all this. You've got
nothing. It's like spitballing.
No, but blue ocean in say a business, right? Say
right.
In 2009 when we started podcasting,
uh-huh.
we had a blue ocean market where we could just go after the entire market because there weren't that many
competitors. Because it was wide open.
It was wide open.
Right, okay.
You know, I'd let Pony run a show once in a while, but I just don't think he has the bandwidth.
Yes. Mike, I've got low bandwidth.
Ah, this is fun. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road.
If you said that to me, I'd go, boo.
Yeah, this is true. Well, we'll go back and sharpen our pencils, okay,
yes.
fellas? Yeah, what do you think?
Who uses pencils anymore?
That sounds like it's from the Little Rascals.
Hey, Oscar, have you heard Let's Right Size It?
Oh, no, I've never heard
what
that.
What does that mean?
That means let's fire a bunch of people.
Oh,
let's right size it.
Now
let's
I know
right
that.
Size it.
That's not good. We haven't gotten to that side of the business yet.
Darkness.
Okay. This is creative destruction.
Creative destruction.
We don't have enough boots on the ground.
Yeah, boots on the ground.
Like
there's a lot
one.
Of military folk in my class.
Do you have anything about dogs in there?
Yeah.
Did you hear my dog in the background?
I do.
Frankie.
I do.
Shut up, Frankie! Frankie would be considered an arbitrage.
Yeah, he has four boots on the ground.
Don't know why he's doing
that. I don't know
why
I love that so much.
You know, I got. Hey, we're eating our own dog food, guys. This isn't working.
What the
has that?
No.
Is that really?
I don't. Hey, Rob, I'm just reading them. Okay.
We're eating our own dog.
I've never heard that, unfortunately.
Well, look, you're gonna put lipstick on this pig. This opening bit.
Heard that.
I'm putting a stake in the ground here.
I don't know. This is great.
What
I love
site
this.
Is this?
This is Forbes. I like this. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to be using a lot of these in the future.
Oh, this will really escalate the show.
Hey, one of my deans has requested to come in and shadow and see what's what over here. What do you think?
I'd love that.
Yeah?
I love that. I like having that.
Dean Wormer.
Tell him to come in. We'll ballpark it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell him.
We could blue sky
We'll sharpen our let's blue sky it. We'll sharpen our pencils and blue sky this thing. You know, got to wrap our head around it, make sure the rubber meets the road, and you know, put a stake in this thing.
Yeah, if we bring
whatever
in,
that means.
If we bring him in, it could be a win-win.
Mike,
you never
we
can
have
tell.
To look at the big data.
The big data, absolutely. Let's check out big data. Not to be confused with big sugar, big oil, and as my son likes to say, big potty. There it is. All right. Well, hey, I know you're clamoring for our impressions of the Super Bowl. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Any more thoughts about who you might marry?
I ain't doing that again. I had two marriages. It just cost the studio a lot of money to bust them up.
Well, we had to have those annulled. One was to a minor mob figure.
Vince was not minor.
And Buddy Flynn was a band leader with a long history of narcotic use.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were both louses. Marrying a third louse ain't gonna do me no good.
I've offered you some very suitable, clean young men.
Pretty boys, saps and swishes.
What about Arne Sessler? He is the father, isn't he?
Yeah.
Deanna, having a child without a father would present a public relations problem for the studio. The aquatic pictures do very nicely for us.
So you go and strap on a fish ass and marry Arne Sessler.
Let me see if Arne is open to matrimony, You sure he's the father?
Yeah, absolutely he's the father, yes. Pretty sure.
Say your line exactly as I'm about to, just as I'm about to do.
Sure, okay.
Would that it were so simple.
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 My dear boy, why do you say that? Why do you say twer?
Well, you should say it like I said.
Yes, but...
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple. Would that it were so simple.
Watch my mouth. Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
I'm trying to say that, Mr. Lawrence.
Lawrence?
I thought... A minute ago, it was Lawrence.
No, we can use Christian names, my good dear boy. Lawrence is fine, just as I call you, Hobie.
Okay.
So, would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple.
Would that it were so simple. Trippingly.
Would that it were so simple. Trippingly.
No, don't say trippingly. Say the line trippingly.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara. Rob Spiewak. Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Is that from the Clooney movie? Is
Hail
that where
Caesar,
that's from?
Yeah. I got no fewer than 10 emails over the weekend that says that we need to go see that movie. They say
oh, really?
Fantastic.
Oh, might have to see that one. Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiverr Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is The Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you are here, you do too. All right, I'm being held prisoner in my own home because there
Tragic.
Are... delightful, beautiful Sherry's berries that are in my refrigerator as we speak. And I happen to have a spouse who's counting them. That's right. She's counting them. All right. I mean, this is the time of love and Valentine's and your special someone. And I have a spouse who is counting my Sherry's. Well, they're hers, but she's counting her Sherry's berries so that she makes sure that I'm not eating them. And I have to open the refrigerator, look at the Sherry's berries every single day and say, Mike can't reach into that and grab one because they are going to be counted.
Wow.
There's only one surefire way to win Valentine's Day this year. You have to win her heart all over again. Especially if she's counting your Sherry's berries.
Yes, be there proud is no... that she's so good with numbers, Mike. That's good.
Thank you, Rob. There is no easier way to get it right than with a romantic, fresh, and juicy berry display from Sherry's Berries. Not a display. It's a romantic, fresh, juicy berries covered in chocolate and delicious chocolate chips and white chocolate with beautiful chocolate with stripes on them. Berries that I open the refrigerator now and I look and they're going, hello, Mike, where are your Sherry's berries? Please. Let me give you the offer. It's fantastic. They're freshly dipped strawberries, Sherry's berries, starting at $19.99. That is over a 40% savings. And for our listeners, be a big shot. Double your berries for $10 more. These are massive strawberries. They're dipped in all the chocolatey goodness you could handle. They're topped with chocolate chips, nuts, decorative swizzles. Here is the only way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. And then maybe your berries can arrive. You can put them in your refrigerator, and your wife won't let you have any. Won't that be special? Juicy, huge, freshly dipped berries starting at $19.99, or double the berries for $10 more. Visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Please let us know when you get your Sherry's berries, because it's a fantastic deal and it's a great way to make your special someone fall in love with you all over again. And then put them in the refrigerator, count them, and say, Mike O'Mara, hands off! Hands off these delicious, incredible Sherry's berries that I used to eat 11 of when they would arrive at the studio when I was in Manassas. But now, because she's got them, I can't touch them. Anyway, berries.com. Click the mic, TMOS, but you must order today. Time is running out.
Time is running. I got to do it, man.
Do it, and let me know if you do it, because we appreciate you giving us feedback for our sponsors and all that wonderful stuff. All right, on to the Super Bowl. I'll start.
Okay.
Please.
But anyway.
First, what time did you start watching? Because the coverage started, I guess, at like 11 a.m.
Yeah, did anything change about the party as well? Two questions.
We originally were going to golf with another couple. Mm-hmm. Based on the fact that I golfed 2 days in a row, I did not golf on Saturday. I golfed on Saturday, and I never do. And it was cold and windy and rainy. And my body said to me when I came in on Saturday evening, I cannot do this on Sunday also, because it's going to be cold and windy again. And I said, this is not pleasant, nor is it healthy for me to do this. There's only so much of a good thing you can enjoy. So we pulled off of that, and the plan was we would keep our sitter. But once again, because we had the sitter during the day, we could not go to the party at night. Aww. And I told the people that were having the party, I said, please understand, I got my little guy, he's got a cold, and we've got, you know, four hours tops with the babysitter. That's a long time for us. We want to spend the evening with him and put him down and get him all comfortable. So that was the deal. We ended up pulling off of all social activity whatsoever. And for the first time, I can't even count. I don't know. I don't know when the last time, if ever, I watched a Super Bowl in my own home without people around. It was Carla,
it
was me.
Very odd.
And it was movie time during the day. I had the queeniest Super Bowl Sunday of anybody. I went to a turbo chick flick. I mean, it doesn't get any more chick flick, and I loved it. And you know what? Carla looked at me in this movie at one point, and she mouthed the word, "You old queen."
Nice.
There is a scene. We went to see Brooklyn. If you've seen the trailers,
that's not a Queenie film. Brooklyn. That's you. That's your Irish coming out.
It's your era.
It's my Irish.
It's
my Irish.
Mike got
his Irish time.
There is a scene. I'm not spoiling the movie with this, but there is a scene in the movie where she is working in a soup kitchen for these elderly Irish workers, the people that built the Brooklyn Bridge, mm-hmm. that dug the Lincoln Tunnel, the people that built the infrastructure, who were by and large Irish,
right.
I should point that out, in New York City. You know that my father and my family has roots of coming into New York City, like so many immigrants came over, and they're in a soup kitchen, and at one point they ask a gentleman to stand up and sing, and he sings a Gaelic folk song, and Carla looks over at me, and I am literally going,
you were what we like to say, you were in crisis.
Yeah,
I was in pure crisis.
An emotional crisis in some urine-smelling movie theater. And some upper-scale movie theater. And, it hits you in the feels, and you got nothing. And you got a urine crisis.
Blubbering.
It happens to me.
Carla's looking over me going, you old queen. I'm like, sorry. This is Irish music. It was so.
Not old queen.
What is the what is the pronunciation of the actress's name who was the star of Brooklyn?
You know,
it's like S A I R C E. It's a Gaelic name, I believe.
Sicario.
She's an it's not Sicario.
It's Beyonce, isn't it?
Benicio del Toro.
We actually that is had her name. This in the audio vault sometime back, and when you saw the spelling, you got it right. Because I quizzed you on it, and you were able
Sourcey.
To...
Sourcey. Sourcey, maybe.
I think it is. Sourcey. I think it is Sourcey. I think it you might are be right.
Sourcey. Mike Sourcey?
Stop. Dad, behave yourself, please. It is, yeah, so it was Chicky. It's a pure love story. No action, no blood, little death. But they, you know, you can't make a movie without a little death here and there. And went to see that. It was Back to the House. It was sit down and watch the Super Bowl. The only thing that boned me, NBC boned me on the Super Bowl because I got caught up in the sudden death overtime of that golf tournament and missed Gaga singing the national anthem. Had to watch Gaga on YouTube this morning. And I will say... Since we'll start at the beginning,
yeah,
Lady Gaga, in my humble opinion, I would give that an 8 or a 9. Yeah. I would give that an 8 or a 9 on the national anthem. I truly thought she hit it out of the park. You know, lip sunk it. They have to, right?
I don't
they have
think
no
it was.
Choice.
I think it was genuine.
Rob.
I was watching
Rob,
it.
They all do. Rob, they can't not do it.
I was watching it really close.
Really
you're
close.
A rube.
Then I'm an idiot. But you know
you're
what?
Rude.
It's not the first time I've been told.
They can't technically, technologically, they cannot do it. The bounce back will affect her. They have to amplify that with that many people in that stadium that the bounce back would kill her.
Well, whether or not it was a lip sync
Well, somebody Google, please.
Since, I'm Googling as we speak.
Did Lady Gaga lip sync the national anthem? They pre-recorded. Whitney Houston pre-recorded it.
I think they have it as a backup. I was watching it as close as I could, and I think the reason that it fooled me, if it did, was she was so dead on with some peculiar pauses. There were times where she'd stop down for just like a half beat more than she should have.
Which would be a good way. I don't... It doesn't bother me if she did. She recorded... this anthem, and that's okay. You know, she hit the notes, that's fine. But I thought, you know what? The key to the national anthem to me is not to mess with it and just give it straight ahead. And she did it straight ahead. Few note changes here and there.
But so sincere. It was a really heartfelt version. And while I was
it
waiting
for lip synced.
Oh, it was lip synced?
Yes.
Okay. Then you know what? Color me Rube because I was fooled.
Well, you are. You should know by now that that's the. They all. It's not. Your fault. It's the fact that that's the way they do them. They can't do it. It's not
feasible.
Technological. Remember when we didn't we talk to Colonel Colburn about Beyonce at the
yes, we did.
You know, now that's a small enough group where you can do it and you're shooting it out there, but you're in that stadium, it's going to bounce around. All right, you can play that. Oh, you want to play the end? All right, you can play the end of it. I hate talking over it.
I was really taken with it. Maybe the reason I was fooled is that I wanted to believe it because I thought it was very, very,
very
good. Well,
I would give it, you know, it doesn't matter to me that it was lip sync. I give it a probably a good solid 8 or 9.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought
I'm
it was
you.
Really. And then I'll ask you guys, here's the thing. We weren't going to a Super Bowl party. We weren't going to be at Jimmy's. We weren't going to be
miss
at
Jimmy's.
I miss Jimmy's too.
Yeah,
and
too.
I think we should go back and do a Super Bowl party.
Yes.
Mm. I would like to. I would like to stop it.
Will you?
He brought his funny shoes.
What he wants to do
today.
Is he wants to build.
He brought his funny shoes.
He wants to
today.
Allow time to anticipation, Mike. He wants to promote the party for 2 years.
Sometimes he makes me laugh.
We'll have a promo that starts tomorrow. It's a save the date promo. He said, where are you going to be in February 2018? Save the date.
All right, let me gather myself here. Yeah. Okay, so.
You know, 2020 might be better. Because I'm looking ahead at the
You don't
calendar.
Pile on. Don't pile
Come on.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's just silly. Pony.
It was. Look, there was nothing in that Super Bowl that connected us to it. Okay,
no, you're
just,
right.
It just didn't. If the Skins had been playing, it might have been a
totally
different story.
I'll put it to you this way. I was in Olney Sunday morning.
Yes.
And I saw Johnny Cakes Allville. Mm-hmm. And he was pulling out, probably going to the grocery store before the game.
Right.
And
he was going to get some money snacks.
He pulled into my driveway. He said, hey. I'm like, hey, like, what are you doing? You don't have a party? He goes, you don't have a party? I'm like, this is the first year since I could remember that there was no Super Bowl party.
Yeah. So I'm not alone down
Mike,
here.
Mike, you know what? I was thinking back to Carrie. Carrie, I think the last time we didn't do something as a show, you actually came to my house for a Super Bowl party.
That's right. You had the big screen downstairs,
exactly.
And we all hung out there. And I got there. Didn't I get there late or something like that? Right.
All I remember is that Carla rearranged my CDs, or said she did, and it drove me nuts.
I remember that.
Because she said that they were all alphabetized, and she said, I just moved a few of them around.
We've gone through horribly inclement weather to go to Super Bowl party.
Oh, yeah.
The first real public event for the Mike O'Mara Show podcast
was a snowstorm, and it was packed.
It was a snowstorm.
Yeah. It was like 40
shows Jimmy,
in.
Jimmy, we shall return. I promise you.
Cakes and I looked at each other like, weird. All right, have a good day.
See you later. See you later.
And do you
Can I say
that
this?
When Oscar goes to his parents' house, that becomes like the historic radio district of Maryland because two key heritage broadcasters are living within three houses of each other.
That's so weird. That still will always be the weirdest fact that Oscar's parents live like two doors down from Cakes.
Very, very strange.
But it was, I was at a certain point, I was going to say, I looked over at Carla and I said, you know, when the movie was starting, I said, best Super Bowl Sunday ever. Just to not have it. And then as the day progressed and we got closer to game time, I found myself
yearning
a little more. Yeah. Yearning for a little pandemonium. And
you and I, Rob,
on microphone mocking the spots.
That's where you and I are again, Rubes. Because you know what? We speak out against the fact that it's just an invented holiday, an invented event.
Yes.
But we crave it. We crave it. Yeah.
I crave. But let me, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you guys about everything else as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you.
Hi. This is Carrie Spiewak. You know, Rob's wife, ya humps. You know what I've been doing a lot lately besides cultivating a relationship with my new BFF, Mike O'Mara? Well, I've been thinking about Rob Spiewak's bag.
God.
Sure, the big guy does me and the kids a solid each and every day by running the boards and pretty much being in charge of everything over there at the Mike O'Mara Show. But my favorite thing about him, you may ask? Well, his bag, of course. His bag is one of my favorite features, baby dolls. You know, if you send Rob a note to rob@mikeomarashow.com, that's Rob with two B's, I'm sure they'll get around to reading it come Thursday or whatnot. Just like he gets around to rubbing my feet every night.
Oh, gross.
Please send along your letters to fill up the Mike O'Mara Show mailbag and help keep my husband employed. Because God knows I'd be hating that retail. I'm like,
thank you, Chris Razor. Once again, sending in a grand promo. Thank you, Chris.
We have some fun listeners, don't we? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. Did you know that getting quality sleep is every bit as important to a healthy lifestyle as a balanced diet and a regular exercise? You ready for me? 9.5 hours last night.
Blessing. It's a blessing.
8:30. Second half. I didn't watch the second half of the game. I'll tell you about that in a minute. New Sleep Number research shows that people with Sleep Number beds who use Sleep IQ technology experienced improved sleep quality and more restful time in bed. My Sleep Number bed lets me choose my ideal firmness. You know that. It adjusts to each side. So whether it's adjusting your Sleep Number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you will always know what's working because Sleep IQ tells you. It's one thing to turn in on Super Bowl Sunday. It's another thing 9 hours later to open your peepers and go, oh my God, do I feel supercharged, and I do.
Sounds
it's absolutely
glorious.
Amazing. And that was with a little vino during the middle of the day.
Look at you.
Hello. Yeah, fantastic. My sleep number setting is an 85. It's not a 90 anymore. It's an 85.
Oh.
Carla's is still a 65. Last night, my sleep IQ score was a 95,
whoa!
People. Yes,
woo!
And I feel great. Shape the best sleep of your life with a Sleep Number mattress and Sleep IQ technology, starting at only $1,099.98. No better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today only at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. Don't forget to whip and nay-nay and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. So, where was I? We were talking about the Super Bowl, everybody. And I did. I turned in at 8:30 last night. I was, I didn't have any dog in the fight.
Was that halftime? Was that during halftime?
Yeah, right about halftime that we did not watch the, I said, am I gonna keep my peepers open because I want to see Beyonce again? No, I didn't want to do that.
Oh.
Didn't care about Coldplay. Didn't care about, love Bruno Mars. Didn't care about him. Decided that I would turn in. So, and I TiVo'd it. So I figured I could watch it all this morning, which I did at 6 o'clock in the morning. I watched it.
Did you like it?
How'd you like that CBS audio?
I loved the halftime show. You guys hated it?
I thought that the audio was abysmal. I thought here's the problem. It's all pre-recorded. We know that. But they are so intent on overdubbing the, which is overdubbed. It's fake. It's fake. You look at the guy and you hear the crowd going, and a guy walking down the aisle getting a beer. You see that in the back. And I think the music is tremendous. I like the choices that they made. I love the choreography from both Bruno Mars and Beyonce, although Beyonce seems to have done the same dance steps for like her last 11 marquee performances.
Yeah, well, found something that works. And
they're having a dance battle, though.
A little bit of a dance battle. It was fine, but it wasn't anything that, totally memorable.
Everybody in my house, and I had two of Shannon's friends there that were watching it, and I was just doing homework. They didn't care.
Let me ask you before you go
on.
Let me ask you this. Did it pick up a little bit for them when Bruno Mars hit the stage?
They said, and mind you, I live in a little shoebox, so you can't miss a single comment. They said, "Oh, Chris Martin is actually good looking." So they started getting into that,
okay,
and I said, "Yeah, and he's 6'7". I just threw that out there. They're like, "Oh, really? He's that tall?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Is he really 6'7"?
No.
Okay, I didn't know. I don't know.
Carrie and I were talking about the halftime show. We went to an open house in our neighborhood, went to Doug and Christie's house and watched with like maybe a dozen people.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And Carrie and I, of course, Carrie is just the queen of snark. And it's so great. And we're sitting there and the halftime show starts and she leans over to me and it's a really, upbeat family type environment. Mm-hmm. She whispers in my ear when the crowd comes out and is standing around the Coldplay stage.
Ugh,
she
I
says,
hate that.
"How'd you like to be one of those assholes?"
I thought
Way to go, Karen, for a television
performance that's in the middle of a stadium.
Right.
It wasn't top 10, but for what they had to work with. Right. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. It seemed like a lot of fun. It had big names, and that video screen below the actual
stage was crazy.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay, if you like that,
yeah.
I got nothing to add to that.
Lots of bright colors for Oscar.
No. The idea that you could
you know what you are with your bright colors on the stage and your flowered shirts and all your lovely little parasols and your crazy inverted umbrellas and your teenagers gathering around the stage. You're a rube. It was fine. It's like, look, I have hated the halftime shows.
But you take
back
to
games.
When they really sucked.
I'm pleased to honor America. The up with people singers now come out. I think that a halftime show, this is how tremendously old school I am.
Yes.
I think it ought to be a marching band.
Oh,
that's what I think it ought to be.
And a man
in a jetpack.
Never mind.
And a man in a jetpack. No, well, you know, bright colors on the stage. It was fine.
It was fine. Pepsi sponsored a little bit for everything, and I thought
the message was nice at the end.
Yeah, Bruno love. Mars.
What was the message at the end? I might have missed that.
More love in the world, something like that. It was just nice.
Who needs that? They all held up cards, and it said Chris Martin is not 6'7".
Is what
all I know is I'm glad that Dr. Ben Carson wasn't cued to go on stage like that. Because if Coldplay had pulled a Ben Carson, did you guys see the video? Please tell me you saw the video.
Could you imagine, like, in the second quarter if they showed the tunnel and Cam Newton was still standing there?
I think that's a production issue.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Ben Carson screws up because he can't hear, because it's a large debate audience. Yeah. That we're skipping all over the place here. But we're talking about the Republican debate on Saturday night, which I did not see the beginning of, so I had to go back and look at that again.
Right.
Thank God for technology. And Ben Carson gets introduced and freezes, doesn't hear his name correctly, and he freezes. Now, I would say... It's a production issue. I would say you're absolutely right, Oscar, until you see the guy with the headphones that leans out around the corner and says, your name was called. Get out there. Turns around in all of his medical doctor arrogant BS and told the guy to go scratch. And he chose to stand there like a blithering idiot when the guy. So the production assistant that was back there, the stage manager said, get your ass out on stage. And he stood there.
Happened to Trump too, though.
No, Trump. Yeah, I think Trump stayed by his side.
No. By Trump. Trump. Yeah. Well, no. But this, if you really watch from the beginning to end, there's three candidates, right?
Right.
That didn't walk all. So there was like a runway basically to the stage.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So they didn't walk all the way to the stage because the production that was already pulled was either pre-taped or the guy was just running on and not even looking at the stage. He called another name after they called Trump, so he stood there until they called Trump again. And then it happened to another candidate, which I remember, who was also standing there. They were standing like a bunch of rubes waiting to be called again.
I think that Trump purposely stayed back because something was going wrong.
Yeah, well, yes.
It was Kasich. It was crazy.
The way I watched the video, and I watched it twice, was that there was three candidates that didn't go out on their cue, which created a logjam. But outside of that, you would think that whoever's producing the show, they could not. Ben Carson was the last one to walk out, right? If I'm not mistaken, right. Maybe Trump was. Well, either way, he could stop.
He wasn't supposed to be the last one, but he wasn't close to being the last one. He just stopped before all of them came.
Kasich was last, I think.
Yeah.
So regardless, they had to call someone off the stage and say, "Hey, come on out here." And that it seemed like nobody in the front of the house was actually paying attention to what was being said and who was out there. Because by the time you were done with that announcement, I went on stage and there was still one guy missing.
I know that there are very important people on that stage up there. These candidates are all even over important in their own minds, but don't they do a walkthrough? Don't they do something that lead to so they know the rudiments of their entrance?
This is the problem. Is that I think that at this point in the election cycle, they've done this enough times.
They blow it off.
That they're just like, it's the same thing as last time.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's a new venue, new stage, new production team. It doesn't matter to them. They're like, this is the same thing as before.
It was hysterically funny.
Like
to watch
a bunch of bumbling executives.
Oh, it hurt.
But getting back to that moment, you did have Dr. Carson. Someone leaned over to him and said, get out there. They called your name. And he just was too, you know, no, I don't have to do that. I'm not going to unless I'm going to.
Okay, here we go. This is going to be fun. Can I have your...
Yes, you may, of course.
Appreciate it. Thank you. I got the replay here. You're going to like it.
Whether or not it was what happened, what I envision now when I think back on it is Carson is doing his fingers like Mr. Burns while he's waiting. He's like, I don't want to go out yet.
Yes, that was fun.
I'm not going to walk out on the stage until it's...
Okay, you can turn it up.
Okay, gotcha.
So Christie comes out just fine, right? You have to turn up a little more.
You have full volume on
you? Yeah, full volume.
That sounds good.
Okay, so you've got Dr. Ben Carson is just standing there. He hasn't come out yet, right? Christie's on stage. He's waiting.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz walks by. Now, is Trump out there yet?
No. Trump. It's just Ted Cruz, and he walks by Carson. This is the PA is actually telling him, go out there. We called your name already. He didn't hear it.
Trump stops, though.
No, Trump comes out.
But he stops. He freezes him back.
Oh, my God, no. This is what happened. I can see it now. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Trump stopped him back at Carson.
Yeah, the timing was off. The guy who was reading the names didn't allow for the candidate to come out.
He rushed it.
But he
still, if you'd had the right technical direction backstage, and they did try to get that, and Trump walked out from the very back of the stage to the little runway,
yeah.
But then he stopped.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The two guys that have been, let's just say, accused of a little oversimplification in this campaign were the two guys that stood on the side of the stage like idiots.
I want to kill them, but once Trump got out and was about to walk on stage, it called, and now here's Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
But no, what happened was
I can replay it right now.
I watched it 10 times over the weekend. I'm not looking at it.
Okay.
I remember what happened. The two guys that froze were Ben Carson and Donald Trump. They both stood there with like deer in the headlights.
Yep.
And then the best look was when Jeb Bush walked by him, because he walked
both
by and was like, okay, you idiots, I'm walking out on stage. And then Kasich got screwed up too. It was a complete cluster F for the debate. And Texas Senator Ted Cruz knew it. He gave the guys a little look. Jeb Bush knew exactly what was happening and that this was going to be a moment. He gave them a little look, and then onward and upward. It's not going to affect
he
Trump.
He threw them
apparently,
some shade, as the kids would say.
Yeah, it was exactly
shot him
true.
Shot a side eye.
Yeah, so God. Great.
I'll never
great TV
say that
viewing.
Again.
It was truly something to watch. And then the thing that got me, the only other thing I will tell you about the Republican debate is that Chris Christie attacks Marco Rubio for having a scripted 25-second soundbite, and Rubio went back to it 4 times. And it was, I think it was devastating for him.
Oh,
he went back to it 4 times. And Christie, say what you will about the governor of New Jersey. He was a pit bull. And he goes, see, he's doing it again. The same memorized 25 seconds. And the only time that can be devastating is when you're doing the same memorized 25 seconds again.
Called him on
amazing
the third time.
To watch.
I actually,
it really
do, you hear, do you want to hear the tape? Because I have the three things mashed together.
Yeah. Listen to this. This is truly amazing. Really, really amazing.
And let's dispel once and for all with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. But I would add this. Let's dispel with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Facts. Here's the bottom line. This notion that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing is just not
there
true.
There it is.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
There it is. The memorized 25-second speech.
Well, that's the reason why this campaign is so important.
To the Gang of Eight bill first.
Well, here's the response. Anyone who believes that Barack Obama isn't doing what he's doing on purpose doesn't understand what we're dealing with here. Okay? This is a president. This is a president who is trying to change this country.
They start booing him.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
Start he's booing him.
Sounds like Rain Man.
Because he went back to it again. It was stunning.
Yeah.
It was stunning that a political candidate with that level of experience, and I'm not talking about the government, we're not doing the debate here. I'm talking about a guy that's run for the United States Senate, that's been through a series of debates, that's been in politics all of his life. That's been in the other Republican debates. And I was watching that going, oh my God. And all I can say is, you know, I've never seen that with this guy Rubio before. And it was this moment of exposure that was absolutely, I think it was, it could have been, it's potentially devastating for a guy that everyone was saying, this guy might have the fast track after his showing in Iowa.
Do you know, it was to me, it was a total,
Tickle Me Elmo.
No, you know what it was? Yeah. It was a total throwback. Do you remember when he did the Republican response and he took that awkward sip of water? When he was doing it, it was after State of the Union, I think. And he stopped dead on, reached, looked panicked, looked as unpresidential as a person could look. And then he sort of got it back. But it's like a snap judgment where you totally lose the fact of where you are and what you're doing. And you can't bounce back from it. And to do it again after you're called on it, it's like you've got to be able to change on the fly or you're not going to make it in this business, sir.
Oh, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the commercials at the Super Bowl. And I know you guys were both, Rob, you were at a party.
Yes.
Oscar, you had people over. I didn't have anybody over, and I'm wondering whether I missed something because I didn't see any. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
She took my heart away. She said I
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Last week, Mrs. O'Mara made me some Blue Apron pineapple shrimp fried rice. That was one of the most delicious things I have eaten in a long, long time. We're talking about Blue Apron and meals that you can cook like my wife cooks at home. I could do it too. I ain't an idiot. Cooking at home, it means eating healthier, saving you money. And we get so excited when the Blue Apron box comes to our front door because it not only makes great healthy meals that you make at home, but it is absolutely healthy. It is fantastic. You can make these meals and they're between 500 and 700 calories per portion. Tasty. They're good for you. We love it. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. No matter what dietary preferences you have, Blue Apron will make it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes. Here's one. Roast chicken supreme with mashed potatoes, gravy, and maple glazed carrots that you make in your own kitchen. They do it all for you. The box arrives. The protein's in there. The produce is in there. The seasonings are in there. Everything's in there. They give you pictures and instructions. Everything you need to make an amazing, just a delicious meal. We love Blue Apron. I've been telling you about it a long time. Be like the O'Mara household and get yourself some Blue Apron. Right now, you can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat. That's true. First two meals on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. And thank you, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Rob, you didn't give me the thumbs up. Are we all right there?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely did.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now, I'm talking to Comcast on a regular basis today.
My buddy, my good friend,
likes the show. Yeah, can't wait to talk to him today. Hey,
Have him over.
What's going on? No, we got an issue, down here. We'll fix it. Getting back to the Super Bowl. So, what's the best thing? The best thing to me about not going to a party, not being around a bunch of people, being loud and drinking beer, was that I was going to sit there and be able to see every Super Bowl commercial as they came on. And all I got to tell you is, did somebody miss the memo where you're supposed to put where every commercial on the Super Bowl is supposed to be new and funny and really entertaining? And it sucked. Was it my imagination, or was it the worst year ever?
This year they released most of the commercials before.
That's one of the worst things online.
The good ones I've already seen. No anticipation. The one that really and it was twofold. You had to actually go. I think for the full impact, you had to go to the site. The Squarespace commercial with the two guys that had their own show on Squarespace, build their own website.
Okay.
And I went to the website, and they were doing a live stream of their show.
Was that Key and Peele?
Yes.
Yeah, the two comics. Yeah.
And then the comics were doing a live show broadcast on that link, and they were so funny that I stopped watching the other commercials or the game. I started paying attention to my computer. Because the way that they were talking about the game was so, like, it was what we would have been doing at Jimmy's.
I'll be honest with you.
It was just so much fun.
I'd love to see what their numbers are because they could not. I didn't know anything about that. I saw Key and Peele. I kind of half watched it. I didn't pay attention to it.
That's the key, though.
So they were driving people to a website.
Yeah, they put a website at the end of the commercial. And I went, I was like, that can't be live. And I went there, and they were live. And it was great.
But once again, but technically not a really great commercial for, I mean, successful, drove you to a website. Yes. So they did what they wanted to do. But nothing memorable as far as the commercial itself.
One commercial that aired on the way, you know, we only went half a mile up the road, and we missed one commercial break on the way.
Yes.
And when we got there, everyone was talking about the Doritos ad with the baby in the lady's tummy. And,
it sucked.
And I said, you know what?
I thought it wasn't funny. I thought it was a, yeah, okay. I saw it a million miles away.
Of course.
I didn't think it was that big
a
deal.
It was such
yes,
a
the
typical,
baby in utero is reaching for the Doritos as the dad waves them over.
It was a typical Super Bowl ad in that it was like a little bit racy, a little bit exciting, a little
bit different.
It wasn't
racy. There wasn't anything about it that was racy.
Racy for Leesburg.
Yeah, well, no, racy is not the word.
Racy?
Racy is not the word. Let me take it back.
All right, Red Skelton, why don't you take me back to that. I don't understand how you say
it's
racy.
Like a borderline inappropriate, perhaps. Because
no,
you don't think
no.
When a baby
what's inappropriate
comes
about
shooting out of a woman?
They didn't show the baby come out of her vag.
That's why it was borderline, because it was implied.
That's what he wanted to see.
But it was the baby being born. I look.
But it was typical Super Bowl commercial. It was safe that almost got to any level.
They're all safe now. That's They're all safe. That's what it is. Yeah. My point is there was nothing memorable, you know?
The Honda Ridgeline commercial with the sheep.
Oh, they sang Queen.
Did I miss that one?
Yeah,
was
that
in the second half? Was that in the second half?
Yeah, they sang Someone to Love by Queen.
I was in La La Land. Was it? Did you like that one, Rob?
That was fun. I liked it.
That was not great. There was nothing.
Is there anything you didn't like on the Super Bowl? Is there any ad you didn't respond to?
Yeah.
Like you worked for the agency.
I didn't like the monkey.
For the agency.
I didn't like the monkey pug combo. I thought that was creepy.
What, monkey baby?
Yeah.
Puppy monkey baby.
It was really weird.
I like puppy that.
Monkey baby. You like puppy monkey baby?
Yeah, because it was upsetting.
It was really upsetting. Puppy monkey baby. I was like, oh, what do they do?
You like the puppy monkey baby looking the guy?
It's a pug.
I didn't like the commercial. I like Rob laughing at the commercial. That's making me laugh.
How do you not love this song? Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. And I also love that the first thing when I turned my computer on this morning is that my buddy Brad said that honestly, that commercial gave him a nightmare last night.
It was creepy.
I detected a tremendous creep factor in that commercial. Okay, turn it off. Thank you, Rob. I know you liked it.
I loved it.
I thought it was, you know, I don't know. It's just nothing.
It wasn't as great as the years past, but I really think it's because we've been exposed to them online beforehand.
And how dare Apartments.com take their medium Jeff Goldblum commercial and air it twice? I think the
two versions.
The short version and the long version. But the fact that someone can air a commercial twice shouldn't be allowed.
Because what it is an advertising agency that is, you have that much money, and there is absolutely no excuse for it.
I've got
Oscar.
The top five, according to TiVo, top five Super Bowl commercials from yesterday's Super Bowl 50.
And
all right?
Do it by the
I'll go five to one. Five
the
to
ones
one.
That were rewound and watched again, probably.
Yes. The Pepsi, The Joy of Dance, that's number five. Number four is the Cascada, whatever you want to call it, the convertible from Buick.
Is that the one?
I missed that.
Yeah, it's a white convertible that they had.
Oh, it was the guys that left the wedding, and they said, I can't believe that's a car from Buick.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I remember that.
Second half.
Probably. It was during the Colbert, Mike. It was during the Colbert show.
Yeah.
I went to the wine theater again. I went to the movies before the Super Bowl, and I went to the wine theater, so Daddy was
Mike O'Mara's wine theater.
Daddy was
I didn't mention this. I did enjoy this more because of Neymar, the soccer player, being in it.
Yeah.
The Quesalupa from Taco Bell, bigger than everything.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And that does look like a good food product.
Yeah, I was like, I got to try that.
You know what? I will say this. I didn't, you know, the commercial wasn't particularly funny, but I will tell you that the idea of that product, the
Quesalupa.
Deep fried, you know, it looks like it could be a good cheat, you know.
Mountain Dew number two with the puppy monkey baby.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Rob.
See, Mike,
God damn it.
The thing is that people have commercials with puppies, monkeys, and babies, and they made it be on one creature.
That's
one
smart.
Sentient being.
And the number one, the Doritos ultrasound. Look at this.
Rob has done more. Okay, there they are. Rob, you've done more to help that. Now I get it. Now I know. It's like we're putting a puppy, a monkey, and a baby in the same.
What they're doing, Mike, is
maybe I have to go back and look
at it. No, what you need to do is take all the stupid people you've ever met and put them in a room and say, watch what we've got here. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey
baby. Puppy monkey baby. Mike.
And then what you do is you take them to the next room and you say, watch what this baby does for a Dorito. And they're going to go,
it came out of the vagina for the baby. Baby likes the chips so much. He gets... You know, I was going to see Annabelle 2, and we saw the commercial come out about the Dorito. That baby's in the mommy's tummy, and he liked those chips so much that he reaches for them, and he moved the chip back and forward. That's so damn funny. That's so
I've got the top moment of the game, which also happened in the second half.
Okay.
And after that, I will give you my... my football analysis of the game. Because even though I T-voted, I watched the entire game play by play. And I will tell you something. not a good day for our guy with the Versace pants on.
Yeah,
that's
he effed
for
up.
Sure.
I'm shocked that it's in the second half. I would have guessed it would have been the fumble for the touchdown.
There are a lot of let me get right to it before you give the top moment of the game. There are a lot of things you can do to screw up in a athletic contest, but especially in the NFL, when you wuss out, you are. I mean, it doesn't matter that he was getting savaged by the Denver defense. The bottom line is that last fumble where he didn't dive in to get
bingo.
It.
Bingo.
He stopped.
I rewounded in my house. So I was like,
he's
going to
be
that?
Savaged. He's going to be absolutely.
What happened there?
I don't know, but you know what?
You can't be Superman when you're winning and not be Superman when you're losing.
That's right.
Bingo. And you can't go to a press conference after the game and then candy ass out on the press conference as well. And listen, and I know last week we had a discussion. I thought Dominique wrote a very, very interesting thing about it doesn't apply anymore to
no,
me.
No, it doesn't.
Because this guy has shown he has shown what he's all about, and that is that he's still a kid that has not matured enough. Now, listen, Cam Newton has a chance, and I make this to all the Carolina fans. Cam Newton has a chance to be, I believe, one of the all-time greats. I think he can be. He has such strength, but if he doesn't get his head right, and he – talk about a guy that believes his own hype. With his eyes closed and his little hype prayer, Cam Newton has got to move from all that crap that doesn't matter at all and move into the zone of being like you, of playing like you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And because otherwise he's going to let this destroy him. And we'll see. I think Cam Newton has more than enough talent to actually get his head on straight and move on to be a true. You'll say, well, look at all the games he won. He got to a Super Bowl. No. He was so completely taken out of his game. And he, you know, look, would they have beaten Denver? I don't think so. Not with the defense that Denver had. I think it would have taken the greatest quarterback in the world might not have done well. But at the end of the game, when he didn't dive in for the fumble, it's like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You worried about getting hurt?
Still had a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know, it was very strange. And then at the press conference, kind of going, we sucked him walking away. You're a baby. Stop being a baby. It's
just
a game.
As much you know, as
you
the
live
story,
to fight another day.
Just as much as the story, the Jim Nantz-styled story of this Super Bowl was Peyton winning his 200th game, achieving that record, and possibly retiring as the world champion.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you. But the one thing I wanted to say about Peyton Manning, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to go drink a lot of Budweiser's and saying that again and again. I swear to God. I mean, once a whore, always a whore.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have enough money to do that. And, you know, this is the chicken parmutation. I'm going to go drink a lot of Budweiser's, you know. I would follow him with a camera phone wherever he goes and see if Budweiser touches that man's lips. But it's not staged. Thank you very much.
I wish he said, this is what really would have just hit it out of the park.
Dick.
I don't know, Jim. All I care about right now is getting some Papa John's pizza and a couple of Budweiser's.
Yeah.
Exactly. And making sure my insurance policy is intact.
Really?
I wanted to hug my wife and whisper in her ear, www.papajohns.com. Remember the promo word, Peyton.
You do the same thing, Mike, if you had the opportunity. Yes, I probably would.
Sure.
So there you go. I admit to it. It's just I still don't have to like it.
Hey, is it
I still
I'm not, don't is have it, to like it? Has that. It been replaced? They don't say I'm going to Disney World anymore. They said I'm going to drink a bunch of Budweiser. Is that what they're doing?
This is the first I've heard the Budweiser thing.
Well, I don't think I didn't see the linebacker that won the MVP. I didn't see
the
his
Disney
video,
World line.
So. Mm-hmm. I didn't know whether he got the Disney World line.
Yeah.
You know, it's expensive to get that done.
Yeah.
And,
maybe they
you know,
were like, hey, our stock's down. We're just going to let somebody else take
we'll
this.
We'll let it slide this year.
I'm
you
just
know, we've done this too
Budweiser.
Often. You know?
Just got to say I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser and I celebrate.
It's just that, to me, it's the rich. Look, why I say the Super Bowl tests my faith in America, once again, the rich getting richer, and, you know, Budweiser and Peyton and all that.
Of course.
Look, he played a great game. You give him credit for the game. I just didn't need the Budweiser comment at the very end of the game. I thought it was, I thought it kind of sucked after the fact. He sold the line. I really thought he was going to go drink Budweiser.
He could have been completely an egomaniac and announced his retirement right there to take away from the overall win. He did not do that.
Yeah. That's true.
Got to give him credit on that one. And you got to give him credit about the way he played.
He
played. He made some.
He didn't mess up enough to lose the game.
That's true.
Exactly. Exactly. But Cam Newton, man.
I mean, that's what it was. Stop throwing the ball. Run.
Let me ask you.
Run.
Don't you think with Cam Newton, don't you think it's a maturity thing? I mean, if he ever gets back to that dance.
He'll get a shot at redemption.
I think he will. I think he will.
If he does, that could be the story of the next Super Bowl he plays in.
Yeah, you know, where he's not a big baby. And exactly. You know, don't get off the plane in those dance skins.
I looked at my girl and I said, if he's going to play like Superman, he's got to lose like Superman, right?
Yeah.
Yes, like absolutely. 1,000%.
Can't That's do this.
Beautiful. I couldn't say it better myself. We'll give you the blow-by-blow and news you may not need of the Super Bowl in case you missed it, everybody. And go see Brooklyn if you want to see a good chick flick. Go see that. I recommend that movie highly. We'll take a break and bring Kleenex, especially when the Irish guy sings. Mike O'Meara is an old queen. We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode of the show, we teach you about words that sound pretty but mean disgusting things.
You mean like odium?
Odium. Perfect example.
Where do you find out?
Also on this week's episode, a listener sends us a What Were They Thinking? And highlights from the presidential debates. Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
Buy a T-shirt.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. This segment of the program is brought to you by SeatGeek. We're starting to get into that wonderful time of the year where the weather, spring, will warm up and we will have concerts. And you're also going to have the NHL and NBA and all the games getting down to the wire and baseball around the corner. SeatGeek is the smart way to buy and sell tickets for live events. SeatGeek is it's like Kayak or Expedia. It gathers all the different sites and puts them all together for you. It's for sports and concert tickets. They make it easy. They take all the tickets available on other sites. They put them in one place. So comparison shopping is a breeze for you. SeatGeek also will grade each and every ticket based on value, so you can quickly find the best deal within your budget. They do it 0 to 100. And best of all, SeatGeek always shows you the full price of every ticket up front, which means no surprise fees. Beware, if you're shopping for tickets on StubHub, they can tack on huge fees at checkout. So don't be fooled. Use SeatGeek instead and always know what you're paying. Now is the time to try SeatGeek, because right now all of our listeners can get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just remember the magic code TMOS. Just download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add promo code, then enter TMOS. Then SeatGeek will send you $20 after your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app right now.
It's a good time to do it.
And use the promo code TMOS, everybody. Hold on just a second. I got to do this.
Yeah.
I got to do this right
now.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
No. Oh my
effects.
God.
Wow. Hey, can I mention something while you fix all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what Lou, the hell I'm gonna do.
You're off the hook.
Yeah, and he means that the way the kids say it. You're very cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lou, I got to tell you, one of our new interns is going to be interviewed today, and this is the third time we said we're going to interview her.
Yep.
And she braces herself. She braces herself.
She comes in on these like amazing
And the show
well,
gets
Monday.
Away from us. Yes, you get
it's
another
Monday.
A free pass.
News.
All right. Boo.
That took forever.
Comcast can go to hell. Honestly.
I'm with you.
F them.
Sideways.
The question going into Super Bowl 50 was, who would prevail, Denver's explosive defense or Carolina's explosive offense? In the end, Denver's defense sacked Panthers quarterback Cam Newton 6 times, and the Broncos won 24-10. Denver went up 10-0 in the first quarter when linebacker Von Miller strip-sacked Newton, and Malik Jackson recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown. Carolina cut it to 10-7 when running back Jonathan Stewart leaped into the end zone. God, did he leap.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, did
Pretty
he leap.
Pretty cool.
From 1 yard out. The Broncos added another field goal before the half, then another in the third quarter. In the fourth, Carolina got a field goal on their own to bring it to within 6 at 16-10, but then Miller stripped the ball from Newton again, leading to Denver's only offensive TD. Peyton Manning didn't have a great game. He made 13 of 23 passes for only 141 yards. He also threw an interception and lost a fumble. His only completed pass into the end zone was a 2-point conversion after C.J. Anderson's rushing TD in the fourth. Not Surprisingly, Miller got the Super Bowl MVP award. After the game, Manning wouldn't say whether this was his last season or not, although he did pick up some extra cash by repeatedly saying he was going to drink some Budweiser. Yeah. That's the way
when it was really Miller time.
Yeah.
Von Miller.
God, that's funny. Oh, geez. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was honored with Harvard's annual Hasty Pudding Man of the Year Award on Friday night, and he was a good sport throughout the ceremony. In addition to being roasted, he also performed a gyrating lap dance for a man in drag posing as a Russian porn star.
Oh, that sounds fun.
He wore a skin-tight Robin costume over his suit and stripped down to his shirt and underpants as he performed an impression of Seth Rogen. And at another event during the day, he shared a lengthy kiss with a male Harvard senior who was dressed in drag. Lots of erotic fun at Harvard University.
Still one of the top-rated schools in the world.
There it is. Last week, 17-year-old Paris Jackson admitted to going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in an Instagram comment while lashing out at her critics. Now, she's 17 years old. This sounds problematic for me. I mean, you know, how could you not be messed up with everything that goes on in that family? She said, quote, "This is effing ridiculous. I'm expected to literally sit on my butt all day replying to comments people leave me, positive and negative. I have an AA meeting to go to, family obligations, personal obligations." She went on from there and ended it by saying, quote, "My dad was ripped to shreds daily. I will not let that happen to me."
She later deleted the comment.
I mean, it just speaks to this young lady is a, you know, is Michael Jackson's daughter, and if you're not getting her the proper kind of guidance and surrounding her, she's still a teenage kid. I'm just worried about how this is going to work for her. I mean, I'm very, very concerned about that.
It is so sad when you think about it. There was a documentary I watched on Showtime this weekend, and it traced Michael Jackson from his end of Motown career to when he made the album Off the Wall. And Robert came in while I was watching it, and he said, "Is that Michael Jackson?" And I realized that he changed so much and was so destroyed by the end of his career that Robert didn't even recognize him from his heyday. And it really is. It's tragic to watch the transformation.
This year's Oscar gift bags are worth $200,000.
Oh.
Can you believe that? Woo! It's gotten up to $2,000. Yeah, there we go. The rich get richer. And as usual, they only go to nominees in the major acting and directing categories. Here's some of what's inside, people. Well, here's an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right here. A $55,000 trip to Israel. A $54,000 walking tour of Japan. A $4,800 spa treatment, spa retreat. A $5,060 in-shower aromatherapy steam generator. Must be some kind of generator.
Yeah, I guess
$5,530 worth of laser skin tightening. $250 worth of luxury toilet paper. They got toilet paper in there.
And it sounds like it's the good stuff.
A $250 Noel Fiera arouser for her.
That is
a female sex toy. And a $1,900 vampire breast lift. This is a thing.
I've never heard of that.
It's a procedure that uses a woman's own blood to enhance and round the cleavage without implants. Gross.
Oh, all natural.
It can also soften implant scars and irregularities. So that's interesting.
You know, it's funny when you see the kids like come back from a birthday party and they get a gift bag. It's like, what do you got? Mm-hmm. Skittles. Reach up. What else is in there? Oh, yeah, trip to Israel. Yeah,
but what if you don't want to go to Japan? You know?
I know.
If you don't want to do that? So you take, that's already $100,000 off. And it's a consideration, Mike.
It is
You give it to that family member that's always wanted to see Tokyo. The people who dreamed up this race had to know it would kill someone one day. The 12th annual Krispy Kreme Challenge happened on Saturday in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Nice.
Well, you might not want to applaud, Rob. A guy dies.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
It's a race where you have to run 2.5 miles, eat a dozen donuts, then run another 2.5 miles in under an hour without vomiting.
Oh.
It's a funny gimmick, and now it'll probably never happen again. A 58-year-old guy was running the race and started having chest pains about a mile in. He was rushed to the hospital where he's pronounced dead. Now, his exact cause of death wasn't released, but we know he died before he ate the donuts.
That's the tragic part.
So, you know, we can blame it on the running and not the eating. The Krispy Kreme Challenge, it's stupid, isn't it, is run by a student group at North Carolina State University to benefit the North Carolina Children's Hospital, and now it's probably going to go away.
I feel bad about that because I've trained for part of that race.
The eating.
Not the running. No, just the eating.
Got it.
And now a little something something. A guy went to an arcade and bowling alley in Batavia, Illinois, back in November and robbed the photo booth. He went inside, managed to crack it open, and stole about $75. But here's what he didn't know. The photo booth had a security feature where as soon as someone starts tampering with it, it starts taking photos. So now that it's been repaired, detectives were able to access its photo history, and they got several perfectly clear shots of the guy. They're tracking him down now. Usually you kiss someone in the photo booth. This guy might just be kissing his own ass goodbye. Thanks. That was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How about that? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's Rob's Magic Audio Vault.
Do you love your Mike O'Mara show? Do you love your Tech 411? Do you love your Tony Perkins show? Do you love your Cake and Cookies? Do you love the shows of more broadcasting like the Rob and Joe show? Well, guess what? We do too, and we're going to bring a little entertainment too. Marcus and Steve are back again. We've just got a new show. You can download it right now from the Mike O'Mara Show app or from MikeO'MaraShow.com. Download it today. Enjoy, or maybe not.
Way to sell it.
Thank you, Marcus. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Pro Flowers. Listen up, Procrastination Nation. Valentine's Day is this coming Sunday. That's only how many days away?
Six days away.
Wow. Are you tired of guessing wrong for her every Valentine's Day? Are you high? Are you? Luckily, the Valentine pros at proflowers.com take the guesswork out of the Valentine's Day equation. So you know you'll get it right this year. How about this? 2 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for only $29.99. Or you can be really a hero and upgrade to long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. That's a great deal. Don't wait. Just go to proflowers.com and use the code TMOS. Mrs. O'Mara loves her flowers. In fact, my my little 29-month-old son loves shoving his nose in those flowers, too, because my kid, even at this age, is able to smell the roses. You can't beat Pro Flowers. Remember, the only way to get this incredible Valentine's Day deal, go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner, and type in TMOS again. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in TMOS. Valentine's Day is almost here, so order today. TikTok, time is running out, everybody. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewak for Monday, Feb 8, 2016.
Mike, I want you to guess. I know you love guessing games. Do you know what my personal highlight of Super Bowl 50 was?
What's that?
It was when the ball bounced off the upright.
Oh, that's right. Did you get the sound? Did they? Well, I'm sure they have it very well mic'd.
Well, it's CBS, so it sucks. But I was there watching it, and I watched it happen. Audio was bad in the room, but all I could feel in my pocket was voot, 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 because everyone in Facebook Nation wanted me to know that Graham Gano had bounced it off the upright. Here's a great example.
I always thought about with that kind of participation where people get so excited about a football bouncing off an upright because you love it,
yeah,
and they you love to figure out how to translate that into some money for the show.
Hear that? Here it is. Here's CBS's audio, and you honestly can't hear.
Norman to hold. Jansen
too loud.
To snap it. 44 yards. And Gano. His kick. Oh, it hits the upright.
No sound.
None.
Tippy top of the upright, Joe too.
Only the greatest sound in the NFL, that ringing dead. Yeah.
It is a new stadium.
Sound. Well, you know what? They should. They forgot to mic the upright, Mike.
Pretty amazing at that game when they always talk about 700 cameras, the sky cam, the thing. They don't have a simple microphone on the upright. Very sad. Very sad.
There is one person that was very well mic'd, and I saw a lot of this on social media this morning when I was scrolling back through. Did any of you hear the howling fan behind Jim Nantz?
Oh, someone said, I think it was Shannon, she said, what is that howling? I said, what are you talking about?
This guy,
women can hear a higher pitched sound than most men.
I couldn't hear that.
This guy did not lose his voice the entire game. Listen to my, this is three consecutive plays. You just hear this guy howling in the background.
Go! First down. Charles Johnson drops off in coverage. Good job by him. Picked up two. Making it second and eight.
All right, hold it for a second.
You bet.
Here's the problem, and this is the NBC issue, too. This is networks. They have so many audio sources. Don't you? I mean, we do audio on this show,
sure.
and it's fantastic. Don't you think truly that it's having so many sources that it just gets kind of muddied, and when you've got that many people being loud? If I was doing audio for this, I would say it's great to have the crowd. You're going to hear the crowd through all your mics anyway.
What, yeah.
I try to zero in on those little telescope mics they use down on the field, but
I agree.
Pretty intense. I don't know if that howling was from close to Jim Vance or who knows where
Nance.
It was. It was Jim Nance's stomach.
Because it always shocked me whenever I would go to the stadium and first at RFK and then at FedEx Field, how close the broadcasters are to the stands.
Oh yeah,
they're like one row.
Hey, Lou, let me ask you a question. Since we didn't get a chance to do your interview today. How are you, Lou?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm having a bad day, Lou. Can you tell that I'm having a bad day?
I warned them while we were disconnected that Mr. Mike has a temper and something may happen.
Hey, Lou, did you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
You didn't? Oh, my goodness.
Because yesterday was the Chinese New Year.
Happy New Year!
When is the next? When's the next day that you're going to come in and visit us, Lou?
Next day you're coming in? Is it Wednesday?
Thursday.
I look forward to talking to you Thursday. Happy Chinese New Year. This is the year
of monkey.
What?
Monkey.
It's the year of the monkey.
Oh my God! The monkey. Happy monkey baby.
How do you say Happy New Year in Chinese? Can you say that for me in Chinese?
新年快乐.
Xin Nian Kuai Lu.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Well, good talking nice to you. Job. I look forward to talking to you some more on the next show, okay?
Okay,
take it away, Rob.
Very sweet.
There was a guy on San Francisco television who was being interviewed, and he was asked by the reporter what he spent on his Super Bowl weekend. He's a Denver fan.
Yes.
And he said 21. And I think as you hear this play out, you think the reporter thinks he means $2,100. But that's not what he meant.
How much you spent?
21.
21? And how much do you think you'll spend on the entire trip?
$30,000.
30? You mean three?
Well, I spent $21,000 on the tickets.
$21,000? I thought you were $2,100.
Don't tell my wife.
Are you joking right now?
No.
Why?
Well, for four tickets. The four of us.
Wow, that's
through
a lot,
Prime
man.
Sports, got the tailgate thing, the Broncos tailgate package, all that jazz. So.
And what if you guys lose?
We're not going to.
But what if you do? Are you
we
gonna-
won't.
I almost like the guy, and he says, well, we're not going to lose. We're not going to.
$21,000 on tickets.
That's right. $30,000, or as my father would say, the cost of his first home.
It's unbelievable.
One weekend. And, Mike, we've been to enough Super Bowls to know that it ain't worth it.
No, it's not. It's craziness. But I mean, was this the year that it just went into a different zone? It seems to me we've had these stories for years. This year, way, way out of hand.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
well, it's
really
also
different.
In one of the most expensive cities. Well, practically. I know Santa Clara isn't San Francisco, but
just
you're staying
outside,
in San Francisco.
You're near the tech zone out there. It's very, I mean, it's incredible. But still, the game itself, a stadium is a stadium. I'm just stunned at the numbers this year. They really surprised me.
$21,000 on tickets, Mike. That doesn't count hot dogs.
Yes.
That's just a seat.
Fantastic.
And we closed last night. CBS had the game this year. You know, all the networks that have NFL football, they trade who gets to air the Super Bowl. And one of the things they love doing is putting programming on after the Super Bowl so people cannot watch it. Stephen Colbert was on last night, and he talked about the behavior, post-game behavior, in the cities that were participating in the game.
And I assume right now Denver fans are celebrating by setting fire to a bunch of cars. Wow. Panther fans are dealing with their grief by setting fire to a bunch of cars. That's actually why so many car commercials air during the Super Bowl. No matter what happens, you're going to need new cars.
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it, everybody. The Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long. Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.